Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Amen. Will you open up your Bibles today to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2. Last week, we started a series called House Rules. House Rules is where we started last week, and we're creating a culture of honor. We're talking about the honor principle of honoring each other as in gender, but also in age, in all the different ways, race. We're talking through all these things, and hear me today, God desires that His house and His people dwell together in unity. Amen. The only way to dwell together in unity is by honoring one another. If you can't honor the person next to you, you cannot be united to the person next to you. If you can't honor the person that you are living in the same home with, and you can't see what they might wear or what the weights that they might have, if you can't acknowledge those and learn those things, then it's impossible to honor someone. If we can't honor each other, well, then we can't unite together. So today I want to preach on manhood. I want to preach to the men in the room. But this is just like last week. How many were here last week? Anybody here last week? Anybody got a little convicted last week? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Holy Spirit brings conviction. And how many of you say, though, it was a word of growth for all of us? Amen. It's something that we can grow in. Today, ladies, I talked real highly of y'all last week, okay? I was doing much better than some people. But this week, I might get on to you a little bit. I might step on your toes a little bit. And men, all right, I'm going to make you feel good about yourself a little bit this week, okay? But I'm also going to challenge you in some things, just like we did with the ladies last week. So today I want to preach to the men, the married men, the single man, the young man, the older man, the father, the husbands, the sons, men who never had a father, men who are trying to become what they never got to see, men who feel pressure that nobody else sees, men who are tired, men who are worn out, men who feel like the only time anybody talks about men is when they're correcting them. I want to speak to you today. And I think that touches about, in some way, that touches the heart of every guy in this room. Some way you connect with one of those categories. And so let's start with this idea that honor is not a gender issue. It is a kingdom issue that we have to talk about in the church. And honor is how a house stays healthy. Not just a home that you dwell in, but a home, a church home that you attend also needs to have honor for each other. Now, here's a hard truth for you today. And you may want to write this down. That whenever you look around the world today, I think you could probably agree with this, that culture does a really good job of mocking men, of degrading men and putting them down. I know some ladies, when I said degrading, y'all just went, y'all don't know what degrading is. Okay, degrading means to talk less than in any way. Yeah. To make them less than in any form or any way is what it means. So I believe we can look around in culture and we see that, well, let me say this. Let me ask you this question first. What if one of the greatest attacks on the family has actually been the dishonoring of men? Come on. Because where men are not honored, they will look for honor elsewhere. So what if we say, and we actually step back for a second, and we look that possibly a great attack. Joshua says, at least I'm way ahead of myself. Joshua says this, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Many times the problem is we cut the legs out for men to where they don't even have the opportunity to make that stance. And now please don't misunderstand me. I understand. I'm going to be sympathetic towards you, and I will bring this up in the message. There's some of you that you maybe grew up without a father. My heart is towards you today. He's the father to the fatherless. Maybe you grew up, or maybe you're in a household right now that doesn't have a present father. My heart is towards you as well, and this is why He sets people in families, in churches, to be the family of God together. This is also, listen, single mother in the room, that God can make up for any area that may not be present right now. He is not limited by your situation, because He is a limitless God, and He will do what He can do whenever you begin to trust in Him in that way. Now, once again, what if one of the greatest attacks on the family has been the dishonoring of men? Not the correction of sinful men. That needs to happen. But what if the enemy has taken legitimate pain caused by sinful men and used it to create a culture that dishonors men? You turn on the TV, you turn on any show today, most of the time, men are the punchline. They're absent, they're angry, lazy, stupid, useless, unable to function unless mom fixes everything. Anybody seen any shows like that before? Yeah. And truth is, we laugh at it. Why? Because sometimes it is funny, okay? But if men are always the punchline, hear me today, if men are always the punchline, boys will grow up confused about the weight of manhood, and families will begin to struggle to honor fathers rightly. Men are treated in these two ways often in the culture, either as predators or punchlines. Masculinity is often automatically assumed as toxic. Now, hear me, there is a such thing as toxic masculinity, and we'll come against that in just a minute. But not just because someone is a man and actually shows up manly does not mean that is toxic. The only time it becomes toxic is whenever we don't understand what true manhood is like and what it's actually supposed to look like. But we must be careful that because one person does something wrong, that we lump everyone into the same bowl. Because whenever we begin to do that, we create dishonor in the culture. So the first thing I want you to write down today, and this might be tough for some of you, is this, that men are not optional. I should hear more ladies amening. See, listen, it's difficult for me sometimes. I'm like, ladies, you ought to be amening right now, okay? Last week, I did that to the men. Whenever I say something real good about ladies, men, you better be amening right now. I'm not saying you better be amening because we need to hear you. It's because you're coming into agreement with the word that men are not optional. That's the word of God. That's the truth of the Bible. In the beginning, what's he create? Man in his own image. Now he does create woman then well as well because he looks at man and says, not good. It's the only time in scripture you look and say, see God goes, that ain't right, not by himself. And praise God. But here's the flip side. I firmly believe had God created in scripture woman first, he would look and say, pretty but not good. Right? Like there is still a helper that is needed, which makes men, just like women are not optional, we talked about last week, and they're worthy of honor and respect and love and care, and they can carry the word of the Lord. We talked through all of those things. Just like we speak that about women, we're also going to speak the same thing. I have to bring the same truth for men. They're not optional. Now, I'll bring this balance. For generations, men have sinned. Men have objectified women. They have abused authority. They've used scripture wrongly. They've been passive. They've been passive aggressive. They've been harsh. They've been absent. They've used strength to intimidate instead of protect. All of that is very real, and all of that is very wrong. We still call it wrong. But we honor men today, not ignoring the pain sinful men have caused, and we're not pretending women have not been hurt or homes have not been damaged. Because hear me today, write this down. We need to be careful that in trying to correct broken manhood, we do not dishonor manhood itself, because manhood is not the problem, sin is the problem. Sin is the root of the problem. Pride is toxic. Lust is toxic. Abuse is toxic. Passivity, all those things I mentioned earlier, all those things are toxic. But hear me, the cure for toxic masculinity is not less manhood, it is redeemed manhood. It is scriptural manhood. Yeah. The world does not need less men. The world needs godly men who lead without controlling. And let me, before I throw this Bible across the room, I'm getting excited in just a second. Let me just go and say this. I don't mean Americanized manhood either. Where you can just be mean because, by golly, I'm an authority here. Well, by golly, you don't understand scripture. We'll get into it. Men are called to serve, to love their wife as what? As Christ did what? Loves the church. And here you go, baby. Gave himself for it. That is the ultimate call of manhood right there. And the most manly thing a man can do is to serve the people that he loves from a place of humility, not serve from a place of what can I get out of it, which is often where we find ourselves. But we serve just because this is the way that Jesus has taught us to lead and to love. Hear me, this is what we're preaching today. It's not an ego thing. It's not a control thing. It's not male superiority. We've had enough of that junk. We're preaching kingdom manhood. So the first thing, men, what we're called to do, let me get on to you for just a second. You're called to lead. You're called to lead, and not in the way that you may have been taught. So let me break it down. Genesis 2:15. I had to turn there a minute ago. Genesis 2:15 says this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him where? In the Garden of Eden. To do what? To tend and keep it, to watch over it, to provide, to take care of it. So one of the first things that God does before sin ever enters the world, God gives Adam a responsibility. Before the fall of man, there was an assignment given to Adam. Before brokenness, God calls forth stewardship from Adam. Before dysfunction, he calls forth leadership from Adam, which means that is still the call for us as men today. You are still called to a place of leading, stewardship, assignment, and to follow through with those things. God put Adam in the garden to tend to it and keep it. What that means is he had to cultivate. He had to guard. He had to protect. He had to develop. He had to steward what God had placed within his hands. So from the beginning of time, godly manhood was never about ego. It was about stewardship. So men, leadership starts with responsibility. Somebody say responsibility. Okay. This is functional honor today. So lock in just for a second. Leadership starts with the responsibility. Now, man, I'm going to give you a harsh truth here. If you want authority but reject responsibility, you don't want leadership, you want control. If you want authority but reject responsibility, and ladies, you can take this for your job, you can take this wherever you want to as well, but men, take this the same. If you want authority in your household but you reject responsibility, you don't want leadership, you just want to control everybody in your household. And that's not leadership. That is toxic. That is wrong. It's not scriptural. It's not what we're called to. Men are called to lead. That's what we're called to do. Now, I understand the flip side is leadership has been abused time and time again. But abuse does not cancel the design that God gave for the household. It does not cancel the design that he automatically and already put into place from the beginning of time. If a man abuses leadership, the answer is not no leadership. The answer is Christ-like leadership. If a man uses strength to control, the answer is not no to strength. The answer is strength submitted to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, it says this, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." And then it goes on to say, let all that you have done, let all that you do be done with love. I believe this is a scripture of manhood for us today, men. I believe this word is for you today. Watch, stand fast, be brave, be strong, be courageous. All those things that we want to do as men, right? But also the flip side of it is true too. Let all that you do be done with love. Now I'm going to go bring this. This isn't my notes, but this is free for you. I know that today there's some of you in this room that maybe you didn't ever experience love. So that is foreign and difficult for you to even fathom and understand. Well, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Love is patient. Men, I'm going to tell you again. Love is patient. Patient. Love is kind. Love is long. Long suffering. So let everything you do, let it be done in love means patience, kindness. Long-suffering. It goes on. You can find in Scripture. Whatever attributes you can find about who God is, oh, that is love. And that is who we're called to portray. That's who we're called to show forth. So be strong, but be strong in love. Men lead, but lead in love. Hear me today. Strength without love will become harsh. And love without strength becomes passive. But godly men will carry both. A man of God, he should not be a weak man, but he is a surrendered man. Now hear me today. Where fathers are not present in the home, I said this a moment ago, that does not mean a mom cannot show forth the father's heart, because God himself says this in scripture, that he is a father to the fatherless. So if you're a single mother in this room, I'm not preaching this to shame you or make you feel awkward in this room, but he sees you. He's there to help you. And I'm sorry that some of you have had to carry what someone else should have been carrying, and I'm sorry that you've had to do that, but hear me today. God being father to the fatherless does not mean fathers are optional. It means God is merciful where fathers have been absent. Really take that today for a moment, friend. God being father to the fatherless, man, doesn't mean that fathers are optional. It means that God is merciful where fathers have been absent. Men, we're called to lead by love and not control. We quoted the scripture a moment ago, but in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, I realize that in this text we're talking about, there's an addressing of marriage, but I believe that the principle is larger than that. I believe that this is a model for male leadership. I believe the model for a male that is in leadership is always Christ. Can I get an amen? I believe the model for anyone in leadership is always and should always be Jesus Christ. So before any man ever talks about, hear me today, men, before you turn into Cartman and say, you better respect my authority in your home. Seven people got that. I know you don't watch that. You watch other things. Anyways, before any man ever talks about submission, submit to me, woman. First of all, make sure you're wearing a helmet. Before you talk about headship, before you talk about authority or leadership, look at the cross. Look at the life of Jesus. Not a throne, not a title first, not a position. Look at the cross first. Because leadership does not start with control. It starts with sacrifice. So, men, here's a harsh truth. If you're not willing to die for her, do not demand she submits to you. And I don't mean just go to war. I mean, if you're not willing to die to your flesh for her, don't you dare bring up submission in your household. If you are not willing to say, yeah, baby, I will fold the laundry. Don't you dare. Don't you dare say you better submit to me. Am I stepping on your toes yet, men? I told you, I'm going to talk you up in a minute. We're going to talk about all the things that you're worthy of and honor for just a moment, just a second, okay? But first of all, we got to understand something. Honor comes as a... Hear me say this first. Honor should be given either way, yes. But it is much more difficult to honor someone whenever they are not walking in the way that is worthy of honor. Right? That doesn't mean that people that dishonor are doing correctly, but it means that we cannot be like the one that is trying to pull the little small area and the speck out of someone else's eye while we ourselves are walking around with a plank within our eye. Right? So if you're not willing to die for her, don't demand she submits to you. If you're not willing to serve, don't demand to be followed. If you're not willing to love like Christ, don't use scripture to force something Christ would never model. Shamandai shakaya tabo oyananama. That's the Spirit of God on that one. I'm going to say it again. If you're not willing to love like Christ, do not, I repeat, do not use scripture to force something Christ would never model. Here is why. Because in doing that, you are literally taking the Lord's name in vain. Right. I know we're talking about, but don't you dare say, oh my G-O-D. But meanwhile, we will say we follow Jesus, act like the greatest leader and all this stuff, whenever we are not in any way showing forth the characteristic of Christ, but demand other people to live in accordance to Scripture whenever it profits us. That's hypocritical. Those two worlds cannot continue to exist together. Biblical leadership is not domination, it's sacrificial love. So, husbands, this is just for you. A husband does not become more like Christ by getting his way. He becomes more like Christ by giving himself. And men, you can rule with an iron fist. Some of y'all came in today and you're like, yeah, my household, we got it together. I want you to question it just for a second. Is your household together because you're demanding quiet or because you're bringing peace? Because you can have quiet by making demands. You can, but that's not the same as peace. Silence is not peace. Conformity is not peace. Fear is not peace. Compliance is not peace. Hear me today. If you want peace, you've got to be the peacemaker in your home. That's leading. You can force people to stop talking and still not have peace within your home. Hear me. If everyone in your house is quiet because they're afraid of you, that's not order. That's oppression. I'm going to say it again. If everyone in your house is quiet because they're afraid of you, your spouse, your kids, that's not order. That's oppression. That's an oppressive way of leading. You cannot bully your way into being a good husband. Love has to lead the way. So men, don't just decide where your family eats dinner. Decide like Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't just decide what TV show you're going to turn on for the family night. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lead in prayer and not just at the dinner table. Lead in compliments, in honoring, lead in repentance, and lead in apologies. Don't just lead in your opinions, lead in obedience. Lead in the things that God honors. Now, here's the flip side. Is everybody else ready to buckle your seatbelts now, okay? Men need respect, but respect also needs somewhere to land, right? Ephesians 5:33 says this, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Paul once again gives this command to love, and he gives wives the command to respect. Now hear me, that does not mean women do not need respect, because women also absolutely need respect. We talked about this last week. And it doesn't mean that men don't need love. Men absolutely need love. Everyone, I believe, there's in our human nature, we have a desire and a longing for both. But Paul is speaking to something deeper. He's speaking how husbands and wives receive that honor. Many women, how many of you ladies in this room would be honest, say, you know, your deep desire is to feel loved, cherished, safe, pursued, covered. Anybody, any ladies in the room? Okay. That's pretty normal for ladies to feel that way. Now, if that's not where you are right now, okay, that doesn't mean they're not normal. I'm just saying that Paul's speaking of this idea that this is one of the things that ladies often and women will often desire. Now, men, raise your hand if you connect with this one. Men often deeply desire to feel respected, trusted, valued, believed in, and appreciated. Any men agree with any of that? Yeah, we desire that. That's something that innately, because we're leading, we desire to feel respected. We desire to feel trusted, valued, believed in. Hear me today, though. A man can have money and still feel small if he's not respected in his own home. A man can work hard and still feel invisible because nobody sees or respects the effort. A man can be trying and trying and trying and trying and still feel defeated if all he hears is what he is not and what he's coming up short in. A man does not just want to be needed for what he provides, he wants to be valued for who he is. I know, ladies, for some of you, you feel that same way, that you want to be valued and respected and loved, not just for the things that you may do with your children around the house, in your job or occupation, for the money that you may bring to your household. You want to be valued and seen for who you are. Can I give you a flip side? Men actually have an innate desire for the same thing. You want to know why? We were both created in the image and the likeness of God. Which means there are some innate desires that are actually the same. Now, men, don't take this sermon and go home. Pastor said, you better respect me. Don't do that. Because hear me, respect is not something you weaponize. Respect is something you cultivate. Men should be respected. Fathers should be honored. Husbands should be honored. But hear me, don't expect to be respected if you refuse to live in a way that is worthy of respect. Don't expect respect for leadership if you're not leading in the way that Christ would call us to lead. The role that you live may deserve honor, but your life determines how easy that honor is to give to you. Does that make sense today? Yeah. The role may deserve honor, but your life will determine whether it's easy to give that. So men, this is a call for you to live rightly, to live not perfect. Here's the truth. I want to ask this question first. Any perfect men in this room? No, because your wife told you yesterday how imperfect you are. No, I'm just playing. There's no perfect man in this room. I'm not perfect. Nobody else is. So I'm not calling, this is not a calling to live perfect. It's a calling to live respectable, to live humble, to live present. You know, truthfully, full transparency, I talked a little bit about last week. I'll be a little more transparent about this week since we're talking about men, fatherhood, and these things. And let me say this real quickly. When I speak about fatherhood, I'm not just speaking to the men in this room that have biological children. I'm speaking to the spiritual father. I'm speaking to the granddad in this room. I'm speaking to people who have just the heart of the father, who desire to see the next generation, which we're going to talk about the next generation next week. But see the next generation grow, blossom, become everything that God has called them to be. I'm speaking to those today. But one thing that the Lord's been convicting me on even in the last few months is to stop and be present. Here's the truth, men. Sometimes we can get so caught up in trying to do all the things to earn honor to where it becomes performative. If I can just do the right thing, I can get this. There's a balance, men, and I know it's exhausting sometimes, but there's a balance we're called to live in that is, yes, do what is right. Yes, serve your family. But hear me, if you're not living with your family, you're not serving your family. If you're not spending time and taking your family to do things, if you're not enjoying time, saying, slowing down and going, you know what? We can take a few minutes and go outside and do something together. We can play a game together. We can go and I can absolutely sit down with you while you're doing this. Yeah, we can. If you're not doing that, you're not actually really fully serving your family. I know that's tough for some of us because life is busy, right? Life is always going. It doesn't stop. So sometimes it feels impossible for us to stop. But hear me. This is a call to be respectable, humble, present, faithful, repentant. Matter of fact, the other night, I was telling myself, two nights ago, we're in our room. Our oldest was going to bed. And we were getting into a conversation. Anybody know what I mean by a conversation? A disagreement with a 12-year-old. About what it looked like to go to bed at that time. And I had said something to him that was a little bit harsh. Any other fathers in the room, be honest enough to say, sometimes I lose my cool. Yeah, okay. This is what I love about kids. Because they have no filter. Our middle comes in, Gideon, and does something to annoy Levi. Levi responds to Gideon in the same way I just responded to him. You don't think your kids aren't picking up on things, you're wrong. You just don't like it because they sound a lot like you. So Gideon does that, Levi responds to Gideon, and I immediately... Levi, don't you dare say something like that to your brother. Absolutely not. He snapped his head up at me and said, it's exactly what you just said to me. I said, well, I ought to know. I was playing. Pastor Chelsea was right there. And I stopped and went, you know what? You're right. I did. Dad lost his cool, and I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. That is not the right way that Dad should have responded, and I got to take responsibility for that. So I'm so sorry that I responded that way. What am I saying? I'm bringing up to you the idea that, men, you should be quick to repent. When something's called out, don't just, not me. Even if it comes out of the mouth of babes and infants, even if it comes out of the mouth of a child, hear me. Holy Spirit speaks to children just like he speaks to you, just like he speaks to your spouse and those around you. And the Lord will use children even to make you go, hold up, I got to check myself. Because oftentimes, really, It is your mirror that is speaking to you if it's your children. And you don't like what you're seeing. So maybe you need to look and go, do I not like what I'm seeing because something in them is off? Or is it because I have taught them something that is off? Hear me. If you want to lead, you also have to take responsibility for whenever you lead wrong. Once again, if you don't want that, then you just want control. With in the words of Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like, we got to be willing to take that responsibility and run with it and own it. Own whenever we're wrong. Repent when we're wrong. Your family does not need you to be perfect. They just need you to be honest, humble, and surrendered. That's what they need from you, friend. Now, ladies, if we're going to honor men rightly, we got to talk about respect practically, okay? Y'all know here at High Praise, we are a functional Bible church, which means, great, we read scripture, but how does this apply to me? Yeah. What can I actually do with this? Let's not get lost in the sauce of all these other ethereal things for a moment. Let's actually look and say, okay, so we read that scripture. Now, what do I need to do with it? Here's what you do with it. Hear me. Respect does not mean, for the ladies, it does not mean you never speak truth. Respect does not mean you enable sin. Respect does not mean you act like everything is okay when it's not okay. Respect does not mean you become small so a man can feel big. Yeah. Respect does not mean that you lose your voice. But respect does mean it matters how you use your voice. The way you speak. What we talked about last week, ladies, Proverbs 31 woman is the picture of a strong woman. And let the law of kindness be on her tongue. Hear me, it matters how you speak to your husband. It matters how you correct. It matters how you disagree. It matters how you talk to him. How you respond to his effort matters. How you talk to him in front of your children matters. Because write this down, and men, you already know this, a man who is constantly belittled will either harden, hide, or stop trying. Sit with that for a second, ladies. Criticism may point out a problem, but honor will always create room for growth in that area. So that means this, respect the effort, not just the results. Give gratitude for the attempt, for the trying, for the working, for showing up, for leading, even if it's not perfectly the way that you would want it to look like or you would want it to come forth. Honor notices effort before it critiques imperfection. This is just a principle of honor. Honor notices effort before it critiques imperfection. I'm going to come down. Step on some ladies' toes for a second. Any ladies in the room be honest enough to say, you have a tendency to be quick to critique the way maybe your husband or someone else, maybe even in your workplace, does something. Yeah. Why is that? Because you have a way, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a way that you would do things. But the truth is, whenever we show up and we do something, it doesn't look the way that you wanted it to look. There is often a Let me just let you know something real quickly, okay? Right? Or maybe somebody, nope, all wrong. Oh, nope, not that's not it. Huh? If you're not careful, there's no room for growth and honoring because as soon as you walk in and immediately, and hear me, the shoe can go on both feet, right? But if there's not honor given some first, just notice, I appreciate the movement of gratitude first. It's hard to continue wanting to show up. Oftentimes, the response is, go hide. So, I'm going to say it again. The honor will notice effort before it critiques imperfection means this. Acknowledge the role. Ask the opinion. Value the input. Invite into decisions. And don't make your husband, for those that are married in this room, feel like he's only needed for income, maintenance, or muscle. Because if you make him feel like he's only needed for income, maintenance, and muscle, you know how he's going to show up? In the way of income, maintenance, and muscle, and nothing else. What you put a demand on, hear me, men will rise up to. And I don't mean demand like, you better do this. I mean like an expectation, a loving expectation. A man should not have to fight to matter in the house he's called to cover. Good. Good. So speak well of your husband publicly. Don't tear him down with jokes in front of friends, family, kids. And I know sometimes dishonor sounds like joking. Dishonor sounds like, or say this, joking will often sound like dishonor with a laughing track in the background. But hear me, if you continue to publicly mock the person you privately need, eventually, once again, we're coming back and say that there's a hiding, there's a walking away that begins to happen. So point out the things that are done well, the work ethic, the faithfulness, the parenting moments, leadership decisions. And here's a hard truth that sometimes a man can be doing 10 things right and only hear about the one thing that he missed. And people grow better where they are watered, not where they are constantly cut down. Think about that for a moment. Just sit with that for a second. Because here's the truth. You can tell people the truth without tearing down the person you're telling it to. Right? Now, the balance is this. If you're in this room and your husband is not following Christ, I want to pastor you here for a moment. Maybe he doesn't come to church. Maybe he doesn't pray with you. Maybe he's not leading spiritually. Maybe you're carrying the spiritual weight of the home and you're tired. The Lord, once again, is so good that he makes up for those areas, yes. But ultimately, even in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, it talks about loving your husband so well that the gospel is even seen through your love and how you treat your husband. So the heart of that scripture is just saying your life can preach greater than even your words can. So continue to show up, continue to love. They may ignore the church invitation. They may not want to have a spiritual conversation, but over time they can see the peace, honor, and consistency that you carry in your marriage and on your side of life. So sometimes the loudest sermon in the house is a life that keeps looking like Jesus. Now, that does not mean you continue to enable sin, excuse absence, or pretend everything is okay. If there's abuse, get help. If there's danger, get safety. If there's manipulation, control, violence, or ongoing unrepentant destruction, that is not something you spiritualize and call submission. Right. Okay? Right. There's biblical means and ways to go about that. Now, I promise you, I'm coming too close. At some point, men, we have to rise up and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Not because your wife forced you, not because your kids guilted you into it, not because I'm preaching today on Father's Day saying, you know, this is what our call is, but because Jesus is worthy, your family is worthy of it, your calling matters as a husband, and your wife should not have to be the only one spiritually fighting for your house. But men also, ladies, hear me today and hear me clearly. Men need room to be human. Men need room to be human. I want to talk to the man for just a second as we're coming to a close who's tired, not lazy. You're tired. There's a difference. I'm talking to the man who's been working, carrying, has responsibility to provide. You're trying your best to lead and do what is right. And you feel pressure that nobody else sees. You feel the pressure, and you sometimes just don't know what to do with it. The man who feels like he cannot say he is tired because everyone else is always needing him. The man who feels like if he opens up, he's going to be treated like he is weak. Hear me today, men. It is okay sometimes to be tired. Jesus got tired. And even in the room, I can feel you men. You're like, I don't like that. That's tough. And not in a good way. Jesus got tired. John 4 and 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. He took a break. He rested. Jesus was wearied from his journey. Jesus sat down. Jesus rested. Hear me. So if Jesus can be tired, you can be tired too. And it's okay to sit down. You can sit down. It does not mean you're weak. It means you are a human being. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will do what? Give you rest. Let me give you this thought real quickly, men. Stop confusing exhaustion with faithfulness. Some of you guys, you are saying, I'm so faithful, but you are exhausted. You are tired. You are weary. And in your weakness, hear me, the enemy preys on weakness. That doesn't mean whenever you're weak, all of a sudden you're going to sin or you have an excuse to sin. You know what it actually says, Scripture talks about? Whenever you're weak, whenever you're tired, wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength. Hear me today. Sometimes you just need to stop for a moment, to rest. You can be faithful and still need rest. Rest is not rebellion against responsibility. Rest is how you stay healthy enough to carry responsibility. Rest is also, though, men, not checking out, not going to your phone for 4 hours. Rest is not disappearing and neglecting your wife and kids. Rest is not neglecting work. Rest is not hiding your phone and just calling that Sabbath. Biblical rest is not escapism. Biblical rest is trust for the Lord to renew you and to bring strength back to you. It's trusting that God is God and you are not. And some of us men, we need to hear that you are not God. You're called to lead like God, but you are not God. It's trusting that you're allowed to be human. It's trusting that the house will not collapse because you took a breath. It's trusting that strength is renewed in the presence of God. Men, you need renewed strength, not just fake strength. You need image strength. Not, y'all men know what I'm talking about. You're asked, how you doing? I'm fine. I'm not talking about I'm fine strength. Renewed strength. Now, ladies, here's the flip side. Many women will say this. I've heard this. We've sat in counseling before and heard this. I just want him to talk. I just want him to be open. I want him to tell me how he feels. I want him to be vulnerable. Are you sure about that? It's good that you say you want that, but are you sure about that? Because you cannot ask a man to vocalize his feelings and then belittle him when he does. Well, you can't tell me what's wrong and then punish him for telling you what was wrong. I want you to be honest. And then his honesty is used against him later. Men also need a place. And for those in a marriage relationship, husband and wife in this room, women, you are your husband's, understand I'm about to say this, you are your husband's sanctuary. You are the safe space. You should be the safe space for your husband. You should be his greatest cheerleader, his greatest encourager. You should be the place that holds some space for him to begin to be able to share some things that are going on in his life so that you can be one that says, I love you. I'm sorry you're going through that. Empathy and compassion actually begin to come alive. But if vulnerability gets punished, silence starts to feel safer. Now, men, you need to learn how to communicate without exploding. Say what you feel without attacking. Say what you need without blaming. But women, if he finally says, I'm tired, don't make your first response, well, I'm tired too. You may be tired too. You probably are. But if every confession becomes a competition, nobody feels safe. If every confession becomes a competition, no one in your relationship and no one in your household feels safe. So write this down. Pastor Donald, you guys can play because I'm going to preach forever. Pain is not healed by competition. It is healed by compassion. I'm going to say it again. Pain, tiredness, those things that are going on within your heart right now, it's not healed by competition. It is healed by a heart of compassion. Compassion comes from a place of empathy. It's, you know what, women, hear this for a second. Ladies, hear this. It is great that you're tired too. You want to know why it's great that you're tired too? That means that you can empathize. And sometimes maybe you just need to ask, what percentage are you at? You still got, I got 20% left. You still got 60 or 70. You got more percent than me right now. I'm going to need you to be the strong one. That's a level of vulnerability you just got to learn how to have. It's not easy. It's not easy to just be open. But hear me, men, you will find healing in being honored. But honor is going to come as a byproduct of being vulnerable, truthful, submitted to Christ, and serving your family and serving those around you as a leader. Hear me, in the kingdom, men are not called to dominate. They're called to demonstrate Christ's love. When men dominate and women emasculate, families disintegrate. Next week, we're going to talk about families. We're going to talk about kids. When men dominate, though, and women emasculate, families begin to disintegrate. And if families begin to disintegrate, so goes the ways of the church. So goes the ways of the church. So today on Father's Day, the heart is, men, for you to understand that you actually do deserve some honor. And you're not optional. Young men, you're not just a problem to be managed. You're men of God to be shaped and fashioned and formed into the image and likeness of Christ. Some of you, you've been mocked, belittled, dishonored, exhausted, and pressured in ways no one else sees. And some of you continue to try to become something you never saw modeled. Hear me today. If you didn't have a father that modeled this, find somebody who does. Follow those through whom faith and patience have inherited the promise. Find people who can mentor you, look up to you, say, how did you, whenever Pastor Chelsea and I had a great father. I have a great father. I love my dad. But even he'll be honest enough to say he was never perfect. And I'll stand here saying I was never perfect. And you know what? Through my journey as becoming a parent, I learned so much from my dad. I needed to grow and things I needed to enact, things I love. Like the fact that he put such an emphasis on spending family time. Ministry never became the Lord. But our family was important. That was the greatest ministry. I echo that today. But also, I drew close to people that I saw raising kids in this present age going, how are they doing this? And I'll ask them, how do you deal with situations like this? How did you deal with this? Hear me today. Find people. If you never saw an example, find somebody. Because even people who saw it exampled well still need more people. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So men today, hear this. I know culture may have said you're stupid, not worthy of honor, all these things, but I'm here to tell you from Scripture, you matter. Your presence matters. Your voice matters. Your leadership. But just as much as all that matters, your repentance matters. Your tender heart matters. Strength matters, yes. But it's also a calling to become everything God has called us to be. Men, you're called to lead from love. Ladies, you're called to honor men. I know you may not have had the best experience. Maybe you've went through abuse. Once again, that doesn't mean that we can push away the truth of God's word just because we face this situation. We still have to embrace the fullness of God's word, which calls us to honor men. Men, we're called to honor women. And next week, we'll talk about how together all of us are called to honor the generations because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you get something out of this today? Will you stand to your feet today? Lift your hands real quickly. If you'll lift your hands to the Lord, I want to pray over you. Father God, I thank you for your people. I pray a blessing over their life. I declare Psalm 91 over them. 1,000 may fall at the side, 10,000 at the right hand. No evil thing will come near them. I thank you, Lord, for the men of God in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the vulnerability, for the honesty, for the repentance, for the leadership, for the serving that comes forth. I thank you, Lord, that you have called this house as a house of honor that honors the whole family. Every single, if one of us dishonors the other, it is impossible to have a culture of honor. So as pastor today, I stand and I decree and I declare that this will be a house of honor and unity. So Father, I thank you right now for what you're doing in homes, what you're doing in hearts, and we give you all the glory, honor, praise, and thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. We give God a hand clap today. Hallelujah.